The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to the KTQA Daily Briefing with me, Becky, on this December 30th at 3.02 p.m. if you're listening live, and at 6.02 p.m. if you are listening to our 6 p.m. rebroadcast. Remember that the Daily Briefing is your place to get your resources and updates related to this state of emergency that we've been in for far too long, but hope is on the horizon. We just got to hunker down a little bit longer, keeping those distances, those physical distances, while we stay separately together, connected through the magic and technology of radio. Remember that state-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the city of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. The state's coronavirus Q&A line is staffed 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. The number for the Q&A line, where you can get all your questions answered, if it's a little hard to wade through the website, is 1-800-525-0127. Got questions about vaccines, about transmission, about symptoms, things like that? The coronavirus Q&A line is your place to get those questions answered. Again, that's 1-800-525-0127. You can text the word coronavirus to 211-211 if you prefer texting with someone. And dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way. You can also visit wa211.org online. Our state-level updates for today include a gubernatorial proclamation that extends the current statewide emergency restrictions to January 11th. And of course, this is to continue to combat community transmission of coronavirus. So that means no indoor dining, no socializing indoors with those from outside your household. All retail spaces are at 25% capacity, and gyms and health centers and cultural centers like museums and movie theaters and performance venues do remain closed at this time. Health officials are urging people to be on the lookout for signs of suicide risk among youth, since studies suggest that 1 in 4 kids under the age of 18 has had suicidal thoughts since the pandemic began. There are many resources available for both adults and youth experiencing distress, as well as those caring for youth. The Washington Listens support line for managing stress and getting referrals for behavioral health services is 1-833-681-0211. The Suicide Prevention Lifeline phone number is 1-800-273-8255 for English. For our Spanish speakers, there's a Suicide Prevention Lifeline phone number as well. It is 1-888-628-9454. Para los que hablan español, el número es 888-628-9454. Para hablar en español con alguien para prevenir el suicidio. The Crisis Text Line provides confidential text access from anywhere in the U.S. to a trained crisis counselor. All you got to do is text the word HEAL, that's H-E-A-L, to 741-741. And frontline workers experiencing mental or emotional crisis can text the word FRONTLINE to 741-741 and get connected to a trained crisis counselor specifically trained to help those who are working on the front line during this health crisis. Teens can call or text the Teen Link number at 866-833-6546 to be connected with a peer counselor. An individual struggling with substance use or addiction can call or text the Washington Recovery Helpline at 366-789-1511. Now, if you're driving in the car listening to us, or you just weren't near your phone or a piece of paper, remember that you can always go to our website, daily.ktqa.org. You can click on any of the dates that you heard, any of the daily briefings, all the way stretching back into March, and read and listen to the daily briefings again. Moving on to regional level information. Today, the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department reported 222 new COVID-19 cases, but they do note that holiday-related delays are resulting in fluctuating daily case counts. The county's average cases per day over the last 2 weeks is 252, and with a 6-day lag to account for data accuracy, the case rate per 100,000 people is at 463, still very high, indicating lots of community transmission of COVID-19. Let's see. The Puyallup Tribal Health Authority has received the next round of COVID-19 vaccines and has begun scheduling appointments for Puyallup Tribal member elders and their eligible spouses for the week of January 4th through January 8th, by appointment only. The Tribal Health Authority will send text messages to patients that meet the criteria for the next phases, which in order include at-risk elders, then all tribal elders, then at-risk adults, and then all adults. Neither the two available vaccines that have been authorized for emergency use are available or recommended for use in children at this time, hence the only inclusion of adults. Once tribal members receive a text message, they can call 253-593-0232 to schedule your appointment. Sound Outreach is available to advise unbanked Pierce County residents on getting set up with an account at a local credit union or bank in order to receive forthcoming government stimulus checks faster. Sound Outreach also provides credit counseling and other services to help residents achieve financial solvency in the new year, and it's all free of charge to clients. Inquiries can be directed via email to info@soundoutreach.org, or you can call 253-593-2111. We interviewed several individuals from Sound Outreach earlier this summer as part of the daily briefing. You can learn more about Sound Outreach by going to soundoutreach.org or by going to daily.ktqa.org and searching for those interviews. Just typing in Sound Outreach. Our Tacoma level updates for today include that TMAC, or Tacoma Mutual Aid Collective, is seeking gift cards that initial recipients don't plan on using in order to redistribute to needy neighbors as direct aid or to buy supplies for on-the-ground distribution. Cards for groceries, restaurants, electronics, and hardware stores are especially sought and can be dropped off at King's Books on 2nd and St. Helens in Tacoma. As usual, there are numerous free COVID-19 testing sites in our region. For King County locations, you can visit kingcounty.gov. For Pierce County locations, visit the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department webpage of tpchd.org/COVID test. There's no mobile testing tomorrow or Friday, but the department will be back this weekend after the holiday, offering free testing on Saturday, January 2nd at the Fraternal Order of Eagles building in Ording and at Journey Church in Tacoma. No ID is required and tests are free and open to anyone. Most testing runs 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., but do check tpchd.org for specifics. Results are available in 3 to 7 days. And if that 7-day time period seems a little bit long to you, remember that if you have been experiencing symptoms of COVID-19 like fever and headaches, GI upset, loss of smell, cough, remember that you're supposed to be isolating anyway while you await those test results. Same for if you have come in contact with someone who has been diagnosed with COVID-19. There's a new program that arranges for a test to be delivered to you where you can self-administer and then send it back. That's for if you've got mobility issues or trouble getting to a test site during the times. Maybe you work nights. Go online to scanpublichealth.org for more information. And now to round out this Wednesday's daily briefing, I'm going to replay an interview that I had last week with Rosemary Ponacanti of the Tacoma Light Trail. It's a wonderful thing now that some of the holiday lights for Christmas and whatnot have been starting to be taken down and maybe moving into the new year, but at a time when it is a little bit dark, dreary, and rainy. I was looking at the forecast for the next 7 days, and kind of looked the same every day, and it kind of looked very rainy, cold enough to be cold and get into your bones, and man, not much to make me happy. But the Tacoma Light Trail is a wonderful and amazing thing that can bring some joy and wonder to us during this time. I'm very pleased on this December afternoon to be speaking with Rosemary Ponacanti. She is with Tacoma Ocean Fest and the Tacoma Light Trail. Welcome, Rosemary. I'm so excited to talk about the Tacoma Light Trail this afternoon.
Thanks, Vicki. I'm really excited to be here.
So what is this Tacoma Light Trail? I saw little pictures of it on social media. And can you tell us about it?
I would love to tell you about it. It is brand new. It's the first ever time that this has ever happened or anything like this has happened in Tacoma. So if you haven't heard of the Tacoma Light Trail, don't worry, because it's totally new. It is a trail of light art around downtown Tacoma. And by trail, I mean there's about 30, 32 locations in downtown Tacoma. Maybe they're businesses or museums or empty storefronts who are hosting light art installations. And it's happening from December 30th through January 24th. And it's visible every single night from 5 to 9 p.m. And by trail, I mean you can walk around it, you can drive around it. It is designed so that people can come and be inspired by this light art, but still stay safe and socially distanced. And the way you navigate it is through a map on our website. And the associated part of it, which is really cool too, it's not just light art. There's also sound involved as well. So there's a digital sound trail, which is available on an app and also just on the website itself, which matches up locally produced music or poetry or sound with every art location.
That's awesome. I was wanting to know what are some of the different art experiences that people encounter along the trail. So you said music or poetry. Do you have any examples that are your particular favorites? Are they still in production at the moment?
Some of them are still in production, which is why I urge people to keep checking back on that website, tacomalighttrail.org, right up until December 30th. But one of the ones that's actually up right now is, well, I'm biased because I'm involved with it, but it's the Tacoma Ocean Fest installation down at the Foss Waterway Seaport. And that is actually mostly up right now. And it is an installation just inside that got a massive big glass front wall so you can see everything from the outside. It is an installation of 44 illuminated lanterns in the shape of endangered whales. And they are cascading up and down from these amazing 100-year-old beams, just reminding us of the beauty, but also the fragility of the ocean. And so, obviously, that's a favorite one for me. And the associated sound with that is a flutist that was part of Ocean Fest this year. His name is Paul Chiocton Wagner, and he's from the Saanich tribe, playing, kind of music that makes you think of whales and the ocean. So that's just one example, but we've got a projection of the Nutcracker on the wall of Tacoma Art Museum. We've got little shadow box ballet windows in the upstairs of the Molino building, which belong to Tacoma City Ballet. We've got Kwanzaa candles on the hilltop. We've got a campfire made of light in campfire coffee, which is pretty cool. There's video projections and projection mapping, light art. There's illuminated sculptures, and a light up dragon is going to be in the Pantages lobby. Pretty much everything you can imagine to do with light.
Wow. So this definitely feels a little bit different from the sound of it compared to other kinds of holiday or Christmas light, traditional experiences or displays around the place. We know that, our zoos and aquariums have long traditions of having holiday light displays, but this is running from December 30th, although we may have some previews up right now, December 30th through January 24th. Why the push to display this kind of light art at a time after many people have already put up and taken down their holiday lights?
Yeah, well, Becky, you just hit the nail on the head. That is exactly why I thought of this time frame in the very beginning. And how this all came about, I've actually wanted to see Tacoma have a light art festival for years. I come from a place, in Australia where we have a really big one in Sydney, and they have them all over the world. And then when I was planning this light installation for Tacoma Ocean Fest, I thought, maybe this is a year, maybe everybody can just jump on board and do this. But I deliberately planned it for January because that is when the holiday lights are down. And having lived in the Pacific Northwest for, well, 15 years or so now, and I come from a very sunny country, and January is the darkest month for me because all the holiday lights are down, but the sun hasn't come back yet. And that's when we really need light in our lives, but especially now, because we're in a really dark place emotionally and, you know, financially and mentally because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So that is exactly why we're having it in January, to bring a little light and joy to a very dark time.
It's a wonderful motivation behind it. You said that we're in a dark time financially, in addition to the, all the other things that we're experiencing in the middle of it, right? As we try and stay connected, even though we have to be physically separated. How do the individuals who are sponsoring these particular light installations, how are they funded?
I'm really glad you asked that, because I think a lot of people would be assuming that, because it's a citywide arts event, so to speak, although it's spaced out in space and time. But no, there isn't a big overarching budget. This is not something that took millions of dollars to produce. Pretty much the only money that has gone into it is the Tacoma Ocean Fest installation was made possible because of a Tacoma Creates grant. And that's the Tacoma Ocean Fest. Other people may be drawing on their own spare grant funding or whatever, but mostly everybody is doing this actually out of the goodness of their heart. And that is really just incredible to me. In asking people to participate, and by people, I mean, you know, organizations or artists or businesses, I didn't put any pressure on anybody because I know, like, everybody is hurting right now. So I just literally said to people, whatever you can do. If you have a sculpture already and you want to shine light onto it and make it look a bit different, terrific. If you can afford a big old thing that costs $2,000, great, good for you. If you want to put a candle in the window, do that, right? And so there's this, the end result is there's a huge variety of types of light art. And there's this feeling that everybody's throwing their weight into this. So many people are giving their time, giving their resources, opening up their businesses maybe when they have to send in extra staff. I just can't tell you how generous everybody has been with this. There has been one donor, an anonymous community donor, who has donated just a little bit of money, not very much, and she said, just take it and use it to give to an artist who might need it, but that's it.
Wow, so a lot of ways to unite us in this really kind of struggle, time of struggle. This, we're anticipating January continuing to be a time when, although we often think of it as overturning, you know, a new leaf and starting things anew, we're still having to wear masks and be cautious and have a lot of unknowns approaching us in the coming year. So I think that this banding together as a community to participate in a way that fits our budgets and fits our personalities of the organizations or the businesses or communities is a really cool thing to unite folks together. Are there other ways that maybe folks who weren't approached initially could participate and say, hey, I like this. I want to put my holiday lights in a different kind of configuration that represents something Tacoma focused as opposed to Christmas oriented?
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. It's a kind of an open call thing, and if people are really interested in being a part of it, there's an about page on the website, which lists a good email that they can contact me at. And really, the only guidelines that I ask people to follow when they were putting up light is, first of all, within the downtown core. So it runs more or less from the Theophilus Waterway up to the Hilltop and from UWT to Wright Park. They're the boundaries. And it wasn't that I was trying to exclude people. In fact, that there are organizations from outside that zone that are partnering with locations in the zone. I just wanted to make it, you know, compact and easy for people to follow around. So long as it's within that, so long as the light art can be seen from the street or the sidewalk. And that's really important because, you know, businesses are closed and some people will not want to get out of their cars to be safe and healthy. And then the third thing I'm asking people to do is please think about light that is centered around a theme that our community can all get behind, that unifies us. Because we've just been so divided, I'm sure you'll agree. But there are things that we can all agree on, like hope and beauty and respect and protection and resilience. And so within the confines of what people are able to do, I'm asking them to kind of think about light that kind of conveys some sense of that.
Wonderful inspiration. We should say, what is that webpage that folks can go to, that website for the Tacoma Light Trail?
It is TacomaLightTrail.org. TacomaLightTrail.org. There's two T's in there.
Awesome. And you were mentioning an app that folks will be able to use to navigate, whether they're on foot or on a human-powered wheeled vehicle or in their own cars or trucks or whatnot.
Yes. So the sound trail is on two things. First of all, it is all the sounds will be accessible from every light art page on the website, on TacomaLightTrail.org. However, if you want to have the experience of walking around and having the sound spontaneously play as you approach that art, that's where the app comes in. The app is called Echoes, as in, you know, you're hearing an echo back, Echoes. And it is free, Android or iOS, and very easy to navigate. If you open it up, it'll show you sound walks near you, and the Tacoma Light Trail will hopefully pop up, but I'll include a link to it on our main webpage as well. And then the only other thing is you have to make sure your location is on your phone. And then the magic of the app is it's geolocated, so when you approach a light art location, if you have that app open, the music or the poetry will start to play on your phone.
Wonderful and amazing. Now, Rosemary, you are ordinarily, during the full year, a musician, an artist yourself, and director of Tacoma Ocean Fest. Ocean Fest looked a lot different this year from what we're used to. What's in store, do you hope, for 2021?
Gosh, I wish I could tell you. We all wish we had that crystal ball, right? But what I can tell you is that, you know, whatever our community situation is regarding, you know, coronavirus, Tacoma Ocean Fest will happen just as it happened this year. It may look really different from this year and past years. What I'm hoping, you know, fingers crossed, is that with the vaccine and all, there will be some possibility of, you know, small amounts of people being in person in places, which I'll be super happy with, because one of the goals of Ocean Fest is to really get people down to the water and just get hands on and get their hands wet and get inspired by all the amazing ocean life that's out there. So I hope that there'll be an element of that down at the Foss Waterway Seaport Museum, but there'll probably be some online stuff as well. So it'll be a hybrid, and it's happening on June 6th.
And if folks want to learn more about Tacoma Ocean Fest, where can they go?
TacomaOceanFest.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rosemary, for joining me to talk a little bit about both what might be coming this summer with Tacoma Ocean Fest, but what is happening in our midst right now with the Tacoma Light Trail, this magical way to stay connected and experience art and community and expression throughout one of the darker and colder and sometimes drearier periods of our year in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, you're really welcome. Thanks for having me on the show, Becky.
Rosemary Ponacanti is the director of Tacoma Ocean Fest, and she was speaking with me today about the Tacoma Light Trail. More information on that can be found at TacomaLightTrail.org. Remember that you can dial 311 to reach the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line, 211 for community resources. Our phone number where you can call us or text us is 253-330-8821. If you missed any part of the daily briefing, you can always catch our 6 p.m. replays right here on 95.3 FM or on our website at daily.ktqa.org. And with the new year just around the corner, KTQA will be starting up some new opportunities for involvement. So if you aren't on our email list yet, go to ktqa.org/contact and let us know that you'd like to be included. You can also text us or call us, of course. Just include your email. You can follow us on social media, where we will let some of those things drop as well. But those on our email list will be first to know of involvement opportunities in all sorts of ways. Stay safe. Keep your hands washed. Keep your distance, but stay connected through radio. My name is Becky, and it's been a pleasure bringing you the Daily Briefing.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.
I just heard that KTQA's volunteers are building out a broadcast studio right in the heart of Hilltop. That can't be easy or cheap. That's why I kicked a few dollars their way at ktqa.org/donate. After all, once KTQA gets enough funding, they can start adding so much more music variety to their lineup and give the people of Tacoma the chance to participate in actually creating programs that truly entertain and represent us, and not what some corporation thinks. Go to ktqa.org/donate to support community radio by making your gift today.